Happy New Year to you too, as well. How are things? I miss seeing you. It's been a long time.
I miss seeing you too, and also seeing that. You know, obviously, I get a chance to see the quality work all the time on an everyday basis. But it's we miss having you around here very much, very much.
I know. It was. I used to live right up on North Atherton Street, and it was interesting times with Joe and the worst season in school history, and Penn State started out in a similar fashion this year, and I thought, no, it's not going to be that bad.
And you look back and said, okay, now who is the common denominator? And you thought, I wonder if I should call Steve and see if he knows who's the common denominator.
Hey, when I left, they won the Orange Bowl.
That's right.
To the Orange Bowl.
That's exactly right. So, do we? Will we know an hour before the game, or do you have an inkling now as to who is in or out of this thing?
No, I don't know. They haven't announced it yet. I want to say 7 p.m. is when Ohio State said they were going to announce their availability. But I mean, that's the key to this whole thing, and it's one of the big reasons I picked Alabama is because I don't know who's out for Ohio State.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we were talking about earlier because of that. That variable, we don't know. We are sitting here on this particular day, and they're going to play the title game. They played conference championship games. They played some, if not most, of the bowl games. If I take you back to July, can you believe we're at this point?
No, I can't. You know, in a way, though, it doesn't surprise me because of the effort that went into this season, not just from administration, from commissioners, athletic directors, doctors, but from the student-athletes themselves, testing every day. It was just a phenomenal amount of time, money, resources, and everything to get to this point. And that being said, when the very first college football game of this season kicked off, it was like, okay, here we go. This is really going to happen. And then the Big Ten started playing, and then the Big Ten had this rash of cancellations. And it was like, okay, are we going to get to the finish line? You know, it was this roller coaster of stop and start, and are we really going to make it? And now that we're here, you know, congratulations to Alabama and Ohio State, because I know for both teams, and for many different reasons, it's been a very trying, exhausting season.
You love to write about people, and you also love to write and cover games. What was it like having to cover a virus as well as having to cover games and things you really love to write about?
You know, it was exhausting and it was historic and it was really challenging because it took away from the stories about the people and the players and many times the games themselves. I mean, more often my reporting was based on what's not happening than what is. And, you know, rules changing and protocols and all of those things that had to be talked about and discussed, because at the end of the day, those were the things that determined all that fans wanted to really know, which is my team playing or not? Can they play in the Big Ten championship game? Can they qualify for the national title? All of those things. In order to answer those questions, you have to know the rules and the protocols and the testing and all of those things. And it was so much of it. And one of the things I was really, and still right now to this day, disappointed in, was I had a big story planned on the 50th anniversary of the Marshall plane crash. And I had intended in June to go to their campus and really get a feel for how they teach those players the history of that. They run up the hill. They have people who were still involved in that talk to the players. It's a mile run. And I was so excited about that story. And, of course, it was June, and I didn't go. And that's one of the big misses, I thought, are stories like that that fell through the cracks because of all the other reporting that had to be done.
Yeah, I've gone in to do a couple of basketball games at the Henderson Center. And you don't believe me, you think about it when you're coming into land every time. Every time you think about it. It's amazing. I know when it comes to the games, I know for Jack, Cam, and me, it was every Saturday morning, okay, we're good to go. That's about the way it went. You didn't know until the morning of the game that there was a game.
Right.
And
yeah,
that,
and that was so that was emotionally nerve-wracking for players and athletic directors. You know, the Friday tests, and I mean, if people only saw the emails that were flying across our news desk as to this game's canceled, this game's postponed, whatever it might be, you know, it was just. It was literally by the hour, and all of those things were changing. So, you know, similar to what you're talking about, you know, we would have broadcasters. Mike Golick was texting me one time and saying, I hope I get to cover this game because my last two I didn't get to go to because they were canceled.
Yeah. Yeah, we had Mike on the show, and I asked about that. He was doing the Penn State-Michigan game.
Right.
He said, Steve, I hope we do this. He said, I missed, I think at that point it's like four in a row or something like that.
But, right. It was just every weekend, you just never knew. So it is something to be at this point and have a game tonight. And it was, you know, only fitting that this game was a question mark as of a week ago.
Right.
And people were just sort of blown away by the fact that there was a conversation that it might be postponed. Well, it's a national championship, but it's like every other game. Who knows?
Yeah.
There's something greater here in charge, and it's the pandemic.
Yeah, no question. All right, so this is year seven of this. Obviously, I mean, let's face it, from a monetary point of view, expanding it isn't going to get more money at this moment. But what is the sentiment that you're getting about what needs to happen with this? Because it's giving an impression or a perception of it's like an exclusive club and very few people are allowed in.
Right, and the answer to that depends on who you ask. You know, the Group of Five conference commissioners have been outspoken, nobody more so than American Athletic Conference Commissioner Mike Oresko on behalf of Cincinnati for obvious reasons. But, you know, they are always going to advocate for more inclusion. But even Sun Belt Commissioner Keith Gill told me he's not sure that expansion is the answer. And that's because if you expand to eight and you have one guaranteed spot for a Group of Five team, that doesn't necessarily solve the Cincinnati Coastal Carolina issue. One's getting in, one's not, right? So, you know, I think that while there is a growing sentiment that, hey, we are willing to talk about this, we're going to do a deeper dive on it when we can get in person again, there's also a reluctance to say, this is what I think we should do, because they haven't studied all of those models. They haven't been presented to them in depth. There hasn't been formal studies on the implications on and off the field of what it does to the student athletes, etc. So they need more information, but I think what's different at this point is they realize that there's a clock. This contract expires in 5 years. You don't wake up on the 12th year and say, hey, we're going to do this or we're not. You have to plan and renegotiate bowl and TV contracts well in advance of that. And so they recognize they need to formulate a plan, whether it's to expand or not. They have to come up with an answer, I would say, within the next probably 12 to 18 months.
Yeah, it's exactly going to be the point I was going to make. Is right now, the NCAA basketball tournament, different sport, but still 19% of the schools make the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. College football, different sport, but 3% make it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm sure that the percentages, I'm sure, will come up. I mean, you don't want 19% of the football teams in there who drag the season into infinity, but it is something to at least consider.
Right. Well, and there's two questions here. We always want to ask, what problem are we trying to solve? And this system, I would argue, and many people would probably say, does what it's asked to do, which is get the four best teams. There are probably some people out there who say, you know what, Cincinnati might be one of the four best teams. Okay, maybe.
Right.
But there's probably a lot more people who say Cincinnati deserves a shot. So if the question is this system fair, that's a different question than is it doing what it was meant to do? Because I think it's pretty hard to argue up to this point. Now, we can go back on the Ohio State-Penn State year, or Penn State-Washington, whatever it was, the year that Penn State won the Big Ten and didn't get in, right? There are controversies like that along the way, but I think this year kind of exacerbated inequalities that we already knew was there, right? And if it's a question of fairness, then I think that lends to the conversation of expansion. But if you're talking about just the best teams, period, in college football alone, that is a very small sample size to begin with.
Nobody covers the committee better than you do. Flat out, nobody does.
Thank you.
What have you learned about, I mean, the personalities in their change? Like, for example, John Urschel's now a part of this. Mm-hmm. But what have you learned about how they go about their business that gives you confidence in what they do?
Well, I can tell you, having interviewed almost every single one of them as they rotate off the committee, I truly believe that they are sincere when they say, we did the best we can. We try to be mm-hmm. as fair as we possibly can, and more importantly, we try to get it right. Because all of these people have invested something to a great extent in the sport. And I do believe that when you go in there, and having done the mock selection at least five times myself, when you're in there and you're sitting there and you're looking at the data in front of you, you're in tunnel vision. You're looking at, well, that was a bad loss. Well, they didn't beat anybody ranked in the top 25. I mean, all of those things you're truly talking about without saying, that's Ohio State or that's Alabama. No, you're looking at, well, they didn't beat anybody. Like, those conversations are very real in that room. But to your point, the personalities are also extremely important, because there are coaches in the room. Administrators, all of the athletic directors, all of those different opinions are important, because you don't want groupthink in there, right? You want a variety of opinions and different ways of looking at things, and Urschel's math brain going at it, right? But you also want guys like, very first year of the committee, Tom Osborne talked. He was very quiet. But whenever he did speak and he talked about field position, everybody else in the room shut up, because they want to hear what Tom Osborne has to say, right? So I think that all of those personalities together help them do their job to the best of their ability. They'll always be criticized and questioned, no matter what the system is. But I do believe that they sincerely try their best to do it right.
Hey, look, the 38th team is complaining they weren't an at-large team in basketball, too.
Right.
So, I mean, let's face it. Mm-hmm. Finally, I got another. Let's keep going with the strong suits. I want to know what you think about the game tonight, because you've always been terrific at game analysis. What do you think?
Well, thank you. I think the big question is the COVID-19 affecting Ohio State's defense? Because when you look at these two teams, they match up almost toe for toe offensively. It's remarkable. Alabama's offense has gotten so much ink, and deservedly so, with the Heisman hopefuls. But you look at Mac Jones, well, Ohio State can answer with Justin Fields. How healthy is he after taking that shot against Clemson, right? And then you look at some of these other guys, Devontae Smith. You got Chris Olave for Ohio State. You have Najee Harris for Alabama. Well, you've got Trey Sermon, who can run. So, to me, defensively is where this game is going to be won. And if Ohio State can do what it did to Clemson, which is win up front, I mean, yeah. I have not seen Ohio State play that way all season, from Justin Fields to defensively up front, the offensive line. But to me, what impressed me so much, besides Fields' gutsiness, was the way that they flustered Trevor Lawrence. You leave that kid open, he's going to make those shots downfield almost all the time, because he's so amazingly accurate. And they made him look like an average quarterback at best, you know? And so if they can do that against Alabama, they've got a real shot at this thing. But even Ryan Day says he knows that they have to play better.
Yeah, and I mean, I thought Larry had that defensive front, you know, Togiai, Smith, Cooper, all those guys, they were Haskins, all ready to play. All ready to play. The question is, do they have all those guys tonight? I think that's
exactly.
The big question is the up front guys, because the rumor is that's where it is.
That's the rumor.
Heather, thank you so much. As always, a true pleasure on my part.
Pleasure's all mine, Steve. Thank you so much.